Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car in Carvana first.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Ooh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh. I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
1 hour down. That was quick. And maybe it's because we're so excited about what's to come this hour here on the show. For those of you who don't know about our relationship, our adoption of Matt the Musher, a couple of years ago, we did a show in which we were talking about best dog breeds, and we got a call from Alaska. Lo and behold, Matt Pavelio was weighing in from Eagle River, Alaska, to let us know about the Husky and why the Husky is the best dog breed going. And as we talked to Matt, we found out he was preparing to run his first ever Iditarod. He was in training. He would be a rookie in this iconic race. We were able to walk with him and hear the stories through that process of training and preparation. And actually, after his Iditarod, after he completed it as a rookie, we got the whole story. I've told you it's an incredible listen, but it's worth finding on our YouTube channel. It's got Matt's personal photos and videos. And we've kept in touch with Matt the Musher. And in light of recent events at the start of this year's Iditarod, we thought we needed his reaction and insight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you don't know, a veteran musher by the name of Dallas Seavey, who's a former winner of this race more than once, he has been assessed a penalty because he did not properly gut the moose that he shot along the first, I guess the first day, the first leg of the Iditarod. And so we're going to need some clarification and explanation. And Matt the Musher is joining us now from Alaska. Matt, we're so anxious to hear what you have to say. I take it you're into all of these events that are unfolding right now.
Absolutely. Just kind of fact checking and kind of getting all accounts and the whole story about what Dallas went through on the trail.
Well, before we get into that, how do you prepare for that part of the race? What are you told when it comes to getting in a sled and you've got your dogs and you're out in the wilderness and there is a chance for wildlife encounters? How are you prepared for that?
It's just all the more reason. You got to be aware, take the earbuds out, really prepare yourself for the sleep deprivation that's coming and then just stay aware. And, there's really, it's real hard to prepare for that because, as technical as the course is and that stretch, it's hard enough to drive the sled in. It's every bit of hand-eye coordination and strength and reserve you have just to kind of make sure you and your dogs are fine. let alone, you know, a beast that weighs, you know, 2,000 pounds, or not 2,000 pounds, but 1,500 pounds. And this year, the Iditarod in Anchorage has a record amount of snow. I think I have in Anchorage proper, we have 130 inches. So you get up into the mountains where they are, the snow is deep, and the best way for these animals to survive is to come to the trail. So you know that this is inevitable, and then it just seems like the young males are starting to group up right now. Mothers are about a month and a half from dropping babies. These animals are in survival mode. They've just survived, almost gotten through an Alaskan winter, and they're nothing to be messed with. You know, you don't, I mean, a pregnant mother getting ready to drop calves, or a big male in the middle of the trail, there's not a whole bunch you can do besides be proficient with a pistol. Because there's not, if they come into your team, the only way to defend yourself is, unfortunately, is to go that route. Not all mushers carry guns. All mushers are going to encounter a moose, in their career.
As best you can tell, what happened with Dallas on the trail?
There's always this story of a cantankerous moose on the trail. First couple of teams kind of spook it. And what'll happen is you push these, the first couple of teams caught up with this moose, and these were the leaders in the race. And the moose got into Jesse Holmes' team, and Jesse Holmes punched it in the nose. And then it swung through another team, and then it came into Dallas's team. It was in his dogs, and it was spinning around and stomping.
Oh, my gosh.
And Dallas pulled out his pistol and dispatched it, you know, right there, and the moose fell into his dog team. He, you know, you have to kind of clear your dog team. I mean, if you can imagine, you have one of the most powerful dog teams on the planet that is just a short ways into a race. Dallas has to control 16 dogs and disembowel a moose.
Oh my gosh.
And then on top of that, one of Dallas's dogs was stomped. He knew it was injured, but didn't know how, you know, it didn't look life threatening to him. We've got to assume, because Dallas took, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. And what I guess he did is he slit his knife down its belly, slightly disemboweled it, but didn't pull everything out. And in the state of Alaska, we're real particular about wanton waste. And if you put a game animal down, you have to do everything you can to preserve the meat.
Good.
And so that's kind of the bones of what might have happened. You got to get the guts out of the animal. And that means, like, all intestinal organs. And I don't know if you've seen Star Wars, where Luke climbs inside of that beast.
Yeah. The Tauntaun.
The Tauntaun. That's the size of this animal.
Oh,
so
my
let's
gosh.
Say it's negative 20 degrees and you've split a Tauntaun out or open, and you've got to reach inside there just to disembowel it. You get wet. Like, this is something, that's something we don't prepare for. You know, I mean, it is a real tough situation all the way around. But on top of that, you have a sick or an injured dog. Dallas Seavey is one of these guys that practices spelling his dog. So he might have 16 dogs on the team, but one or two are always riding in his sled.
Oh, wow.
The theory is that those dogs run less miles than anybody else's teams to finish the Iditarod. So it's one of his tricks. So he's always ready to carry a dog, but he takes this injured dog and puts it in his sled and runs another hour and a half, camps for 3 hours so he can kind of stay on schedule. He knows he's in a tight race, and then he runs 3 hours into a checkpoint. And by the time he gets into the checkpoint, the dog's condition has deteriorated, and it had to be kind of life-flighted with a small Cessna back to Anchorage. The dog's back out of urgent care now, or the hospital,
good.
And is back at Dallas's cabin. And you know, I mean, just from my experience as a nurse, I understand that these injuries can develop and get worse with time. Shock takes time to set in. And it's a big dramatic situation with the sport's, you know, most winning musher of all time. He's going for his sixth Iditarod win. He's in a huge race, so I imagine he's going to be scrutinized harder than anybody else. So it's kind of a tough position for everyone. But you know, wishing Dallas the best, and especially the dog. I forget the dog's name now, but we're glad he's doing all right.
Matt the Musher is with us from Alaska, helping us understand what happened with Dallas Seavey, who encountered a moose, had to put the moose down, and has since received a 2-hour penalty because he didn't properly dispose of the moose. Just out of curiosity, could you even imagine, Matt, being in that situation where you've got dogs who are probably hyped up, one who's injured? I don't know if it was dark or light out, not sure, but the cold and the snow, and you have to stop and gut a moose?
Yeah, it's crazy. I've been in my very first race, Amy. I was coming back in, and this was late January near Chinese New Year. We were coming down these power lines, and we're just getting back into civilization, and these power lines had these steep ups and steep downs. So, you know, 50 feet up and 50 feet down going down the power lines. And so your team would kind of disappear over the crest of the apex of the hill and start going down, and my sled would come over, and then we would kind of zoom down a hill, and then we'd go up the next one. Well, I went up one of these. My team crested, and when I came over the top, a moose was right in the front of my team spinning around. And so I had a borrowed revolver, a single-action revolver. So with a single action, you have to cock a hammer back, and then you pull the trigger. It's not just pull the trigger and it goes. And I'd never shot this weapon. I had 14 dogs on the line. I'm looking down a hill that's semi-icy because people are hitting their brakes going over it, and it just grinds it down. And this moose is spinning around, kicking the dogs. And first time I wanted to fire a warning shot, and the hammer only went halfway down, and the gun didn't go off. And I cocked it again, and I'm like, I don't even know if this gun is even loaded right now, you know, at this point. And the moose goes into the woods not very far from me, and I couldn't see it. It was in the dark, but the snow was covering the trees, and your light goes in there and reflects. And you have to go down the hill, retrieve the dog. And Diesel was this dog, a little black dog that was stomped, and I thought he was dead, absolutely dead. And I got down there, and Diesel popped up, and he had a pretty good like hoof mark, like sheathed the fur down where you could see muscle into his leg, and he wasn't bleeding really bad, but he was definitely injured. So I had to straighten this team out and get them oriented on the trail and pick this sweet little dog up and bring him back up this hill, put him in the sled, and then take off again. All the while a moose is just, you know, like snorting in the woods. And and my daughter we were training last year, and my daughter had a moose spinning around in front of her team, and the team started coming backwards. And I was teaching my daughter and another junior musher how to run with their headlamps off, because I think at night sometimes you can see further into the woods without light, just the moon. And so we were doing that, and it's just kind of a neat spiritual kind of zooming experience. And my daughter's team was coming back towards us, and it was very close to, you know, her being in trouble. But so it's good lessons all around on the trail this year and then just in the past, but it's one of those, Alaska's always trying to get you.
Mm. How do the dogs react in this kind of stress? I know one of them was injured, but do they stay calm? Do they freak out? I mean, what's happening as, whether it's your dog team or even just thinking about Dallas's team, as he's trying to deal with the moose and the moose is all crazy, what do the dogs end up doing?
I think they get over it pretty quick if you get over it pretty quick. I think so a guy like Dallas he was almost an Olympian wrestler, and just he's a champion dog musher. The guy's got a pretty good mental game. So I think like anything, dogs kind of I think they know how to react to their owner, whether to be scared of their owner or to be, you know, happy with their owner. They know if their owner's sad. These dogs are really in tuned with what you're doing back there. So, with my experience that I've had, the dogs orient themselves you give them a couple of good commands and they keep going. And my dogs did great after the incident, and they slowed down a little bit towards the end. And I don't know if that's kind of the adrenaline wearing off, but just coming around the corner to the kennel at the finish of the race that I had my moose incident, the lake started shooting off fireworks because it was Chinese New Year's, and that gave them just a little extra shot of adrenaline to get in, because we all know dogs love fireworks. but a team of them together, they really got some power. But my guess is Dallas went around. I mean, he stuck to his game plan, mm-hmm. and he took care of business. And, you know, where he was in the course, him taking off from that moose quick makes a lot of sense, because if you're there with your team on a blind corner going down a hill with a big moose and another team comes into you, it could become a chaotic mess. Oh. Two dog teams intertwined means, you know, fighting and mating and just all the things that could happen. So I think he made the right decision. I think the Iditarod's ruling was also was correct. I don't know if it's consistent with what they've done in the past, but we have a new race marshal this year that's particular. You know, he's a same guy who's been kind of the race marshal for the last 20 years, and Warren Pelfrey, he stepped in, and he's going to run a tight ship.
Hmm. How possible is it to make up a 2-hour penalty?
Dallas Seavey can do it. I mean, he can absolutely do it. You know, this is like Tom Brady being down, what, 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. This can happen. I mean, very, very easily. Poor Matt Ryan. So all these other guys chasing him, he's Dallas's game planning right now. He's got 2 extra hours to sit there and figure out how to massage and rest and feed and get his dogs in shape. And then there's reports of weather up above, ahead of him, like the next checkpoint. So all of this, there's a lot of factors. This race has just begun. Everyone on the course right now, with the exception of one guy, is in their 24-hour rest. So at the end of your 24 hours, you're assessed your start differential. So the person that started first, you know, gets a little bit more time than the guy that starts 31st. Has to stay a little bit longer. So everybody kind of equals out. We kind of see where people truly are after these 24 hours shake out. So in a day or two, we'll really know what the story is.
Matt the Musher is with us from Alaska, helping us break down the early stages of the Iditarod. I understand you've got a big YouTube Live appearance where you're going to be an analyst. How can we watch you?
It's the Mushing Alaskan Mushing podcast. maybe I'll send you a link to it, but
yes.
It's kind of fun because there's a lot of the Iditarod types are kind of doing, cameos, and, you know, I wanted to start my own podcast, but I'm pretty heavy into training. You know, I helped Sean Williams, who's sitting in 8th place this year in the race, train his team. And, you know, there's just not enough time to do everything. I think, there'll be a day when I can sit down and do it. But, I'm good. This Monday, I think it's 9 a.m. Alaskan standard. So 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. Eastern standard. It'll be kind of, I think, day 8 of the race. So usually they start finishing in day 9. So we'll either have some real tight races at the end for the winner, or it'll be, you know, Dallas or one of those guys will be way the heck out front. So it'll be an interesting show, but it's like it'll be coming down to it. So that'll be kind of fun to kind of get on the, you know, camera and goof around with one of my buddies. So
well, considering the headwear that I usually see you in some of these videos, and then sometimes there's icicles on your face, and I know that you have fun with it. Seeing a lot of your videos from not just your own experience, but also your daughter's, which we'll talk about, definitely send us a link, because I know there's a lot of people that would love to see you in addition to hear you. So, Matt, before we take this first break, I wanted to ask, you mentioned all the extra snow. What type of hazards or what type of challenges does that pose in a race where you've had that kind of snow?
Where Dallas is right now into Ruby, you're kind of above the tree line. So the snow, not only does it accumulate, but it starts blowing. And it, like, when we went through there, and I heard that's the case this year too, there's a 90-mile stretch between the abandoned gold town of Cripple to Ruby, Alaska, and there will be a point where it'll be 10 miles of these, like, 10-foot with steep drop-off snow drifts, and you're kind of on an old logging road, kind of, so to speak, and then you kind of cut through some rivers and some swamps as well, but it's low visibility. You can crash your sled. Wow. You can just get pinned down and be very slow. It's not the scariest point that's yet to come on the trail, but it is this snow right here. The snow can be deep and it can really slow and hinder travel. The hardest parts, though, where the snow and the accumulation can hit in the wind are the Yukon River, which it's 200 miles of racing, and it's, at times 5 miles wide. So that can be really scary whiteout conditions. And then, of course, when you're going across the sea ice and the coast on the Bering Sea, those are the scariest of conditions. But, you know, I had a guardian angel. I had easy weather the whole time. That's one of the reasons I'm scared to do the race again. Is the snow and the weather can really slow things down. I think the dogs do well in it. It's just overall not a good racing scenario. It's more survival at that point. So I think guys will hunker down at checkpoints, and that can jam the race up. So you think you have a lead, and all of a sudden it evaporates because you have to sit in a village for 2 days.
Wow.
So,
all right, so we're going to take.
It can happen.
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to take a quick break. We have to ask about your daughter's junior Iditarod because she just finished not that long ago, and a little more about what it's like to be out there on the trail, this iconic event. Matt Pavelio, Matt the Musher is with us from Alaska. I know a lot of you have been asking about him lately. Well,
your fever is high, and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on, while she's sneezing, coughing, and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
If you're the cooking queen in your house like I am, let me drop a kitchen hack that's been a total game changer for me. Primal Kitchen. I'm always on the go, juggling a million things like work deadlines and school pickups, so finding time to eat right is tough. Primal Kitchen makes it super easy to whip up meals that check all the right boxes, like honest ingredients I trust and delicious flavor. They have everything from unsweetened ketchup to barbecue sauce, avocado oil mayo you'll want to eat by the spoonful, and dressings that double as marinades. Genius, right? If you want to make quick, simple meals you can feel good feeding yourself and your family, trust me, Primal Kitchen has you covered. You can find Primal Kitchen at Target, Walmart, or any of your local grocery stores, or you can save 20% off your entire online order with code PODCAST at checkout on PrimalKitchen.com.
Got him once again here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, I thought producer Jay was going to drop some "Who Let the dogs out. He did that yesterday when we were talking about the Iditarod and Matt the Musher. So this year's race has 38 mushers. They're traveling about 1,000 miles if they are going to finish over two mountain ranges, the frozen Yukon River, and along the ice-covered Bering Sea, which Matt just mentioned. 10 days-ish after they start, they come off the ice and onto Main Street in the old Gold Rush town of Nome, and that is where they encounter the finish line. And Matt raced as a rookie 2 years ago. I know that people ask me all the time, Matt, whether or not you will do it again. I've asked you before. I'll ask you again. Is it possible that another Iditarod could be in your future?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a matter of planning. I spread my mom's ashes out on the trail. I do intend to get it back out there and, have a little visit. And then, and then race it. I think the first time you do it, it's kind of an experience. You don't know. Very few people probably come in and race it real hard their first year. But it would be nice to have what I need, put together the pieces to train and then execute and, you know, an hour every checkpoint, just an hour every checkpoint off of the time. And I would have been just under 10 days. And that would have, that puts me easily in the top 20. And then, you know, you just make a little, you fiddle here and there, or you get some things falling your way. And, but there's a lot that goes into it. I'm a dog jockey. I'm not I don't own a kennel. So, the answer is yes. Like, I would love to again. So we'll see how we can make that happen.
I don't think people realize how physically demanding this process is. You talk about 24-hour checkpoints, but it's not like you get there, you sleep, and then you're good to go, right? So what type of a physical toll do these 10 days take on mushers?
I think on average, I mean, you without a doubt, you lose weight. It's just you cannot keep the calories in. I mean, dogs have to get 10,000 calories. I think humans got to get about 4,000 calories in.
Whoa.
And if you're constantly driving a sled or it's frozen outside, it's really hard to get that type of calorie in. And then you get to a certain point of exhaustion where you'd have to have like a life coach right there saying, Matt, eat that, granola bar. Or eat, I was drinking gravy. I craved fats and I craved protein. So I had biscuits and gravy, and I threw the biscuits out and I was just drinking gravy. But yeah, you physically start deteriorating. I think people can start getting sick. There's just all sorts of gruesome injuries that have happened on the, people cracking shoulders on jumbloid ice and knees and, pretty bad head injuries. Mark Selland, one of the cardiologists that I worked with, and he was a mentor of mine in the sport, he came in and he had like flail chest. So that's like multiple broken ribs. And after you go over four or five ribs, the chances of mortality go way up. He got back to Anchorage after finishing the Iditarod. And then the ladies in his office, his cardiology practice, said, you got to get an x-ray. And he had hemothorax. So he had blood in his chest cavity. And this guy had raced for like 5 days after the initial injury. And he said that the pain is kind of what kept him going. It was that like kept you awake and you just feel that jolt. So it's just important to know, like in Dallas's situation or anyone else's, nobody's coming for you real quick. You are 1,000 miles, or at any one point you are hundreds and hundreds of miles, and the only person that people that could potentially get there are like the PJs, the Air Force's special, special ops guys, the guys that go into, they come in with Blackhawks and C-130s, and they come into the worst storms, and they parachute, or they rappel in or whatever. Those are the only guys that could come and get you. And Blackhawks have been used in several different extractions on the Iditarod. You just don't want to have to hit that button, Matt, the transponder, but the safety button.
Oh, you have one?
Everyone is tracked. So if you go to Iditarod.com and you do the Insider, which is our tracking kind of coverage of the sport, you can see the GPS trackers going down. And it's buttoned to your sled. So it doesn't help if you fall off your dog sled and your dogs run off, because these dogs do not stop on command for the most part. You should always carry one on you. You know, keep your pistol, keep your GPS, keep your, you know, your InReach or something like that on you. But that's all in a perfect world. You know, it's really hard to operate with all that weight. So, yeah, it's so many factors go into making this like a pretty, it's a neat sport, you know, depth-defying in some ways. And I think that's what attracts us all to it. It is, you are not in the comforts of modern world anymore when you get out there and nobody's coming for you.
No, and it's not just a race, but it's also about survival. I mean, there are some real world encounters and dangers that you'll face along the way. Matt Pavelio, we call him Matt the Musher. We connected with him 2 years ago when he was preparing for his, actually 2.5 years ago when he's preparing for his first Iditarod. Don't think it'll be the last. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Your daughter is now a 3-time finisher of the Junior Iditarod. I know you were training her, working with her. She just finished not that long ago. Saw the videos, the photos. How did she do?
She did wonderful. She was running Sean's team, and we had to bring in dogs from two other kennels, so 3 total kennels, because the teams at that time of year, I mean, this was just a week ago, a little over 10 days ago or something, or the A-team dogs are getting reserved. So she had some teams, dogs that were not specifically like A-team dogs. And I think she crushed it. You know, she was running in 5th or 6th or 7th place, kind of back and forth. And the top teams are really, really good. Like one of them, there's a girl named Emily Robinson, whose dad's running the Iditarod this year. But Emily has won 3 junior Iditarods in a row, and she's pretty well untouchable. Just an absolute phenom. So good with her dogs. They've bred and raised all their dogs. TG wasn't going to catch her. And then there was another kid from Minnesota, Morgan Martins, who's just been on Emily's tail. those guys were kind of like, they were pretty well untouchable. And Morgan was just so sweet, like cried at the end, just gave absolutely everything, came in, ran up every hill. The kid's like a stellar cross-country athlete in Minnesota and just really gave it his all. And then after that, there was just, it was anybody's race, and TG kept sneaking up and just kind of keeping her pace. And so she ended up 9th out of 21 teams, and she just ran a solid race. She had all of her dogs at the end. All of her dogs look wonderful at the end. She says she would have made a few changes, but she's smiling when she does this, and it's a very, very hard thing, I think, for a kid to kind of give up their high school stuff. I mean, there's a lot of weekends where it's like, you know, TG, I'm working this week and you have to help Sean with the dogs. And she would say yes. You know, I mean, sometimes it, begrudgingly, she wouldn't get up real early in the morning. You know, she's a teenager, but like we, you know, she worked through that. She knew it was the right thing to do. I think she's honest with her dog. So that was fun. But I mean, she wants to compete. And Amy, like, I didn't know how to get this competition out of her. My wife was a college basketball player. I've ran cross country and wrestled and did all the things, and I'm super competitive in this sport, or want to be anyways. And she was just this kind of just, you know, peaceful creature, this girl. And now she's got a little bit of competitiveness in her, and it's something I put her in a spot. Like, you know, you can't teach that, I guess. And she's definitely a little more hungry for it now.
Knowing the dangers, it's awesome to see the photos. And if you check out Matt's Facebook page and videos, they're so cool. He's definitely a helicopter parent when it comes to this. Though you can't be out there with her, but I know you're guiding her every step of the way. But knowing the dangers and some of the challenges, how is it for you as a parent? I mean, you did it yourself, right? So what's it like to have to wait for updates or wait and track her while she's out there?
I'm pretty comfortable with her winter survival skills, and then mitigating the dangers, because I've seen her in the situations. I've been right there with her. You know, what I'm not super comfortable with in life is her driving her car down the expressway, you know, or not that we even have an expressway in Alaska. Let's be honest right there. We have about 20 miles of road that mimics an expressway, but nobody knows how to drive it. But putting her in her Subaru and sending her down the road is far more dangerous than anything, you know. And I mean, youth football is probably statistically more dangerous for these kids, you know, to a certain extent, you know. But Yeah, I mean, then again, we have snow machines that have, like, Dallas Phoebe's dogs got hit. Three of them were killed during training by a guy that was going way too fast, and he was intoxicated, and he just came around some blind corners in weather, and he hit the front of their dog team. So that's the type of thing that I worry about. So we do things like she's got a neon light-up vest, and her lead dogs have blinking collars now, and we're trying to be better as a sport and protecting our kid. But, you know, like, yeah, I mean, of course, I just want to be out there with her. I'm not really nervous about her. Well, that's not true. That's a lie. But it's fun to watch. You know, it's just super exciting, and I love it.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, make sure you send us the link so we can share it with our people when you'll be broadcasting live on YouTube and kind of doing your own analysis of the Iditarod. It's coming up on, what did you say, Friday?
Monday. That'll be day 8 of the Iditarod.
Yep. Gotcha. Monday. So we're getting close to the end, and maybe by that time, Dallas Seavey will have gotten through all of this extra drama that he's had to deal with. Man, love the insight. And of course, we'd love to talk to you again when it's over, if you have an opportunity. I know you have another job and all, but thank you for making time for us.
I hate it. I would love to just go play dogs all day long. Amy, congratulations, you know, on getting married, and, you know, condolences to you, not for the marriage, I'm saying, for every, of course, you know,
yes.
You know, our hearts are with you in a lot of different ways, and I just appreciate these conversations. It's kind of, it's validating. What we do is, you know, it's validating to why we do the sport, and I just appreciate sharing it. So thank you.
Good.
And James and everybody. Thank you guys. And I will start Chubby Bunny training now.
Yes, now. That's it. We need you to return and be one of our ringers on Chubby Bunny. All right, Matt, we'll connect with you again. Thank you so much for the time. Gosh, always we keep you for such long stretches, but this has been fun. You're the best.
Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Matt Pavelio, known affectionately around these parts as Matt the Musher, giving us his insight about Dallas Seavey, this five-time champion of the Iditarod, who encountered the moose early on, didn't gut it properly according to the rules, and has since been served a 2-hour penalty. And they're so early in the race, but if you heard Matt, he's going to be doing a live broadcast on YouTube coming up on Monday, where he's breaking down what's happening in real time on the racetrack. And of course, he would love to go back and do it again. Veteran now of the Iditarod, can't call him a rookie anymore. So great stuff. If you don't know where to find him, he's on Facebook. I actually need to put the link to his page there so you can connect with him that way. And I know many of you love.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car on Carvana first.
Ooh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Ooh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh. I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Upgrade your home now at Blinds.com's anniversary sale. And celebrate savings up to 50% off premium window treatments for years to come. Shop for your house from the comfort of home for modern Roman and woven wood shades, shutters, motorized options, and more. 100% online. Blinds.com invented the better way to shop. No salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. You can do the measuring and installation yourself or have Blinds.com handle it. Unlimited windows for just one low cost. Our design experts can help you select the perfect styles to fit your home and your budget. Totally free. We'll even send you samples fast and free. At Blinds.com, you get upfront pricing with no hidden fees, free shipping, plus our 100% satisfaction guarantee. So raise a toast
to Blinds.com and make this an anniversary sale to remember. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hearing from him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Oh, hi, Amy.
Hi.
First of all, Amy, I work nights and I listen to you every night, and your show's great.
I love your show. You're very skilled at your craft, and I love your enthusiasm.
You're part of my everyday routine.
First time caller.
Love it.
Boom.
Boom.
I actually just found your show tonight on Twitter, and I want to say you do a fantastic job. Love the show.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Responses, your replies, your reaction to Matt the Musher. Yes, he's one of our favorites as well. So neat that we get his insight on this Iditarod because we followed him through his rookie experience 2 years ago. And I did just post the link on or shared his Facebook page, but also posted the link there for the avenue to watch him on day 8 of the Iditarod. So early next week, if you want to see Matt, not just hear him, but see him with insight and wisdom about the later stages of the race and the danger of crossing the Bering Sea. And also, he is a proud papa, and it's really neat if you find him on Facebook. He doesn't do a lot on Twitter, but you find him on Facebook or Insta, and he's got videos from his daughter's race, and it's just really neat to see him continue now 2 years down the road to pursue this passion, and yeah, at one point wants to get back out there and try it again. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Also, my Twitter is A-Law Radio. Again, great to hear from so many of you. And you're always sweet about a big anniversary I had on Wednesday. No, not a wedding anniversary. That one doesn't come up for a while, though. My goodness, it's almost 3 months, which kind of blows me away. But yeah, I'm glad to be doing life with my partner as opposed to be doing a long distance relationship. Last year, it felt like the time dragged, but this year, not so much. Anyway, thanks for all your sweet words on Twitter. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Colton, who's in Arlington. Colton, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
I tried to call last night, but I know y'all were pretty busy. I had a funny story. First off, I listened to your show almost every night on
nice.
My breaks. And
you.
I love everything y'all do. Y'all do a great job.
Cool.
So I play in adult softball league out in Allen, Texas. And the other day, just super random, I was running late for my first 6 o'clock game. So I'm rushing to the field and I let my coach know, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be a little late. He's like, it's all right. We got a guy filling in until you get here. So yeah, he didn't mention who it was or anything. I just get there and I show up and I see this dude playing third base. He's massive. You know, he looks like a pro athlete. I'm thinking that in my head, and I get down to the field and I take a look at him. I look away. I look back and it's Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is playing third base in an adult softball league. And I walk up to him. I'm like, bro, are you like, you look like Micah Parsons. He's like, that's because I am. And I shook his hand. And, you know, so I'm a Cowboys fan, obviously. I live out here in the DFW Metroplex. So, you know, we took a picture together. We played the game. We won. He hit a walk-off single, by the way. He won us the game.
Of course.
And if I can say one thing about Micah Parsons, I think he can do it all. That man hit a ball so far, it bounced across the parking lot into the pond. I would say probably at least 440 feet out.
What?
Yes, that man is insane. But I
is this slow pitch or soft or slow pitch or fast pitch?
No, it's slow pitch.
Okay,
slow pitch. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He caught himself a watermelon and just blasted it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so how is he at third base with the glove?
He's got this little wicked backhand thing he does. He kind of reminds me a lot of, actually, I mean, like I said, I'm from Texas. Defensively, like Josh Young, like he's got a backhand on him. He's quick. Like, he is quick for a big man. He's very quick. But he bobbled a couple, but it was his first game. Like, that was the thing. I don't know. He never mentioned how he got out there or anything. But
so you have no idea how it happened that Micah Parsons was subbing for you when you were running late?
Yeah, so we ended up swapping out. But I'm more of an outfielder. I don't really like to come into the infield very much. I just play a little bit for this team. And so I was like, hey, you know, you're Micah Parsons. You're playing third base. I'll hop in the outfield.
So you ended up playing left behind him?
Yeah, I did. Yep. And he, like, he played that line like, I would say, like a pro ball player. I don't think he bobbled one, but, man, he, you know, it's slow-pitch softball, so a lot of righties, they get a hold of that thing. But he made some plays.
So was he getting swarmed, or did people not really know who he was?
Well, no, he didn't really get swarmed, and that was the crazy part, but there were only two games that night. And, like, that's what I was saying. Not really sure who brought him out. I know there's a guy, you can look him up on Facebook, Chicano Charlie. He runs a lot of the adult softball stuff. I think he brought him out. He's kind of a bigger guy like that. I mean, people were coming up to him, but it wasn't like, I mean, imagine like Micah Parsons walks into a Walmart, you know, everyone's going to be like, oh my gosh, that's Micah Parsons. It wasn't like that, but he's super nice guy, like super humble. You know, he wanted to be like a normal person for the day. It was weird. It was probably the best experience I've ever had with softball, but
that's awesome. Okay, so I have just about 30 seconds. What happened when he hit the walk-off single then? Did he hustle his rear end to first base and you guys all went crazy?
He didn't even walk, and he tossed his bat about 4 feet in the air. It was kind of cool.
All right. Well, that's cool. I hope that you were able to get like a fist bump, a couple of high fives with Micah Parsons after a walk-off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We took a couple pictures together.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Ma'am.
That's amazing. Well, Colton, that's a fun story. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That's fun. Micah Parsons keeping in shape in the offseason by playing some beer league softball. Actually, I didn't ask Colton if there was beer. Adult league softball.
Point blank period.
Can you imagine how he murders a softball coming in at slow pitch? I mean, I can hit a home run in slow pitch softball. Can you imagine what he does with the ball?
I wouldn't want to be playing third base when he's up.
Oh my, no way. You could get injured, maimed for
yes,
life.
Yes.
I hope those guys are wearing cups. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
We've seen a lot of change in the past 20 years, but two decades later, Mountain Dew Baja Blast is still a fan favorite, bringing you the bold tropical lime flavor that folks can't get enough of. It takes you back to a sunny day at the beach with every delicious sip. And don't you want that feeling all the time? Well, 2024 is the year. In celebration of their 20th Baja-versary, you can sip Baja Blast all year long. So pick up a Baja Blast wherever you are. In stores now.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.